Second lesson this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. This comes from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen again to God's Word. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In case you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm the kind of person who can easily get caught up in the details, the little things in life, and I'm a worrier, or at least a recovering worrier. More than 20 years ago now, a book was published. It was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, ... And it's all small stuff. A nice sentiment. I'm not sure I can agree with that. It's a good title for a book, I always thought, especially for a book like someone like me who does tend to sweat the small stuff and who freely admits to being a bit of a control freak. Having an eye for detail isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's the getting caught up in the details that might be. On my recent vacation, I have to tell you, I was sweating the small stuff a bit before my plane even took off. You see, I had scheduled a rather tight connection in Toronto, and my flight was delayed before it even left Harrisburg. That will teach me to fly out of Harrisburg. When we finally did land in Toronto, it seemed like an eternity before they let us off the plane. I'm sure it was just a minute or two. And of course, my connecting flight was at the other end of what turned out to be a very large airport. And so I was worried. What if I don't make my flight? What if my suitcase doesn't make my flight? That's the traveler's nightmare. And so I'm sprinting through the airport, literally sweating the small stuff, and I made it to the gate just as the plane started to board. And the good news is that my suitcase also made it. I was thinking about this experience of sweating the small stuff this week as I was reading this gospel lesson from Matthew. I've read these words of Jesus many times before. You probably have as well. You've probably heard them many times. They come, as I said, from the Sermon on the Mount. They are probably some of Jesus' most famous, most well-known words. But I'm always struck by these words, Jesus' admonition not to worry, because I'm a worrier, as I said, or at least a recovering worrier. In this passage, Jesus seems to be saying to the crowds who have gathered to hear him speak, major on the majors, minor on the minors. That is, be concerned with the big things in life, not with the little things. Focus on the big, important things, like the kingdom of God and all these other details will take care of themselves. They'll fall into place. God will take care of them. I'm not sure that's exactly how Jesus would have said it, but it seems to me that the things on which Jesus would have us focus, the things on which Jesus wants us to focus, are usually not the things on which we are focused. For many people today, our lives are crammed full of things to do and experience, things to master, things to own, things to keep us busy. We are threatened by even the possibility of an idle, quiet moment when we might have to be alone with ourselves. And so we fill our days and our lives and our basements and our attics and our garages with all sorts of things. We do this, I think, in an attempt, however misguided, to provide for ourselves. We want to project a certain image that all is well, that we have enough, and that if we have enough, we'll be safe and secure and happy. And by enough, I mean more than we could ever possibly need. There has been this attitude developing recently, an attitude of scarcity, that there might not be enough food or shelter or clothes or toys or money or whatever, and so we better stockpile it all now, lest the world suddenly run out of bread, milk, and toilet paper, which the Giant almost did on Wednesday night. I tried to buy milk and phew. And then we hear Jesus speak to us in the midst of all this, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Those words get me every time. Thanks, Jesus. It's so easy to have this narrow view of life, to worry about food and clothing, the physical things, and to forget that life is so much more. We live in a time of abundance. Only a few of us will ever know what it is like to truly be hungry. You might not have the latest fashions from New York or Paris, but everyone I know has clothes to wear. And yet we are seemingly obsessed with what are rightly considered the minor things. We are not satisfied with what we have. We want more. And so our focus tends to drift. The things on which Jesus wants us to focus are not always okay. Rarely are they the things on which we do focus. We focus on physical needs, but Jesus reminds us of the importance, the vitality of our spiritual needs. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I've learned that lesson many times in my life, most powerfully in places like Honduras and Guatemala and Haiti, places where life seems so much more tenuous than it does here, places where people actually probably have good reason to worry about where their next meal will come from. I'll tell you a little story about a woman named Maria Elena. She is a very faithful member of the Presbyterian Church in Honduras. She is an elder in her congregation, Peña de Horeb Church in Tegucigalpa. I met Maria Elena 7 or 8 years ago as a team from our Carlisle Presbytery went to Honduras and worked on her house. We worked to expand what was a very, very small house where 4 people were living. We worked to expand it so that they would have a little more space. And the family was so grateful for this gift, and so now every time one of our teams visits Honduras, we have to go to Maria Elena's house so that she can say thank you to us again. And part of our visit to Maria Elena's house is always food. She is a consummate hostess. The problem is that often before we stop at Maria Elena's house, we have been at church on Sunday morning, and the church always feeds us lunch. And so usually we are not hungry at Maria Elena's house. But I've noticed over the years that when food is offered to the Hondurans, they will eat it, even if they've just had lunch a half an hour before. At first, I thought, well, maybe this is a case of good manners, that they have good manners and I don't. And that might be the case, but it also dawned on me that if you live in a place where food is not always plentiful, and someone offers you free food, you eat it, because you don't always know where your next meal is going to come from. Sometimes food is expensive, and sometimes it is scarce, and so if food is offered to you, you eat it. That's the reality of living in a place like Honduras. It's a reality that few of us will ever have to face. And yet, the faith of our brothers and sisters in Honduras and places like it remains undaunted. They hear these words of Jesus, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear." They hear these words differently than we do. They know the power of faith in the face of want and hunger and need. They know the power of faith. They know that God cares deeply and intimately for them. They know the power of prayer. They know what hunger feels like, but they also know what God's presence feels like. They know firsthand that they are of exceeding great value, far more precious even than the birds of the air. In short, they know their identity. They know who they are as children of God. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns." That is, they don't do all of the things that we humans do with food. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" What a question! Are you not of more value than the birds? Of course. We forget, don't we? We forget our identity, or at least our primary identity, as children of God, claimed by the waters of baptism and welcomed into the covenant community of God's people. We forget that there's always a place at this table, God's table, for us. We forget just how precious we are in God's sight. We allow our identity to come from other places. We allow it to diminish us. We're sort of like the brothers in the parable of the prodigal son, in that we forget. Both sons are forgetful of their identity in this parable. One son demands his share of the family fortune, and he goes off to a distant land, and he squanders that money in what Jesus calls dissolute living. Such a polite way to put it. The other son remains with his father, working day in and day out. When the prodigal son finally comes to his senses, he returns home. It would be better to work as a slave for my father, he reasons, than to live like this. And when he returns home, the father is overjoyed. He goes running to welcome his son with gusto. He places a ring on his finger and a robe on his shoulders, and he orders the fatted calf to be killed so they can have a grand celebration. The elder brother, and we know this story, the elder brother, the one who is always there serving with his father, he is angry. He doesn't understand all this fuss. And when the father explains it to him or tries to explain it to him, he is even more upset. "I've always served you, father," he says. "I've always served you, and yet you never even gave me so much as a goat so that I might go and have a party with my friends." The thing about the parable of the prodigal son is that at certain points during the story, both of the brothers forget who they are. They forget their true identities. The younger brother only knows that he wants his share of the inheritance. He's focused on money and the happiness that he supposes it will bring to him. He forgets that his father is still alive. But eventually, he wises up. Life beats him down until there's no place left to go but home, and to throw himself on his father's mercy. The older brother also forgets his identity. He is so caught up in working for his father that he forgets his position as the eldest son. When his father is trying to convince him to come to the party, the oldest son just can't do it. Even when his father says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. All that is mine is yours." Think about those words for a moment. How sad is it that this oldest son doesn't understand, doesn't recognize his identity as the father's beloved son? He spends his life thinking that he is nothing more than a slave because he worked like a slave, because he never even got so much as a goat to celebrate with his friends, and yet he is a son. The prodigal returns home willing to work as a slave in his father's fields, because at least then he would have something to eat. But instead, he is welcomed home as a son who is dead, but has now come to life. His identity is restored, but the older brother, we don't know. We never find out if he embraces his identity, if he remembers. That's the thing about our identity. We often get confused and we forget. We don't see any value in who we are as beloved children of God, and yet Jesus asks, "Are you not of more value than the birds, these birds whom God cares for and feeds every day? Are you not of more value than them?" The world tries to tell us that we are worthless, that our value lies only in our intelligence or our beauty or our ability to make money. But Jesus says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, the great King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." The only proper response we can make to Jesus' words is a response of gratitude. If God cares for us more than the birds and the lilies whom he feeds and tends, then what else can we do than say thank you? What else can we do than thank God each and every day, not just one particular day, although it's nice and good to focus on that, but to thank God each and every day, to live lives of gratitude. In recognition of God's blessings, we are bringing to God today our financial commitments to God's church for the next year. This is an opportunity for us to say, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. God has blessed me. God has taken care of me because I'm more precious than birds and more beautiful than lilies. This is an opportunity for us to say that life is more than food and clothing, that our spiritual needs are even more important. To a bunch of worried and worrying people, Jesus says, don't. Don't worry, because God, your heavenly Father, knows what you need. He'll take care of you. Instead of worrying, seek God's kingdom. Strive for his righteousness. Trust and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and all these things will be added to you as well. Major on the majors. Focus on the kingdom. Minor on the minors. And all these things will be taken care of by our God, by our Father, who is far better at handling the details than any of us. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, help us. Help us to seek your kingdom, to seek your righteousness, to seek you as you have sought us in Jesus Christ. Help us to love the way you have loved us and to serve the way you serve us. All this we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.